Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 15. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we study tonight, I pray that you would help us, Lord, and focus my mind and attention, Lord, fully on your spirit and on your word, and guide me and direct me. What a wonderful thing to be able to have our master's clubs, and I thank you for the group of volunteers that are out there now investing in our young people. Bless them. And Lord, just give them a good evening. And Lord, help our young people to be discipled in the ways of the Lord. Lord, may the word of God be fastened to their hearts. May it protect them and watch over them throughout their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to go to the book of Proverbs tonight and teach you about another person in Proverbs. That person is known as the talebearer. God looked at this sin as such a serious thing that when he delivered the Old Testament law, and these were the rules and regulations concerning how the children of Israel were to behave and, themselves and conduct themselves amongst themselves, one of the laws that he had written was found in verse 16 here. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. That little phrase, up and down, will fit into our definition of talebearer in just a moment. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. And I like this. This section on treating your neighbors and treating each other is, of course, wrapped up in verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. You know, it's interesting and that area is concluded with that, because if you remember, God established, and Jesus did, answered a question: what's the greatest of all the commandments? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind. And then he said, the second's likened to it, thy neighbor as thyself. Then he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so if you say, preacher, how in the world would a guy remember all of the different things that are written in the Old Testament law? Well, the shortcut way of doing that is this: love God. Just love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. If you love God, and I mean truly love, I don't mean lip service, I mean you love him, then you know what? It's going to cause you to conduct yourself towards God in a certain manner, in a certain way. Because some of a portion of the Old Testament law has to do with our relationship with God, and another portion has to do with our relationship with each other. So he said, let me just kind of divide it up for you here. If you'll love God, and you really love with your heart, then that will keep you from doing some things that would be displeasing, blasphemous towards him. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, the golden rule is going to come into effect, where you're going to think, you know what, I wouldn't want to do something to someone else that I would hate to have somebody do to me. I want to treat them as I would like to be treated. And so that guides our actions, and still wonderful things for us to consider. If you will, now go over to Proverbs, and we'll spend the rest of our time, I think, in Proverbs, in chapter number 11. We're going to look at the handful of verses in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, that contains the word talebearer, and then one in particular we'll look at the context of it, because it's not just a one verse, but it's a series of verses that deal with the same subject. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 13, we read this verse, Proverbs 11 and verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Now, preacher, what does the Bible teach us about being a talebearer? Well, first of all, let's put a good Bible definition on it. I've got a long thing written out here. All right, I've gone to the Hebrew word and the Hebrew definition, and it goes on. But it's talking about the word talebearer literally comes from a primitive root word, a primitive root to this idea. It literally means to walk, to walk, to walk among, to walk amidst or among the people. When you get on down into it, I'm not going to read all of it, but it says that a talebearer is a traveler who walks abroad on to and fro, up and down. Remember that little phrase, up and down, to places. He's a wanderer, a wayfaring man. And the idea of being in contact with a lot of people because he's rootless, because he doesn't, you know, he spends his time wandering. He comes in contact with a lot of people, and because he has in contact with a lot of people, the idea of being a conversationalist is also in this definition. He talks to a lot of people, and because he talks to a lot of people, he knows a lot about a lot of people. And so as he goes along, he talks to this person and finds out a little bit, and then he talks to this person, finds out a little bit, and he talks to this person, finds out a little bit, and then he goes to this person, and he talks to this person about these three people, and gets their reaction, and then he'll go back eventually and make his rounds back to this person and said, well, this person said this about what he said, and this person said this about what he said that she said that he said. And then he just travels around, and that's what he does. That's the idea. That's the concept of what he does. Now, let me give you what the Bible says about this, and like a lot of things. I mentioned here a few weeks ago, if you did a study on the word lying, we would never use these two words, white or little, again, if you really studied what the Bible said about lying. A lot of times, we've kind of okayed in our minds certain sins. We've Christianized them, baptized them somehow, and they're okay for us in this day and age in our way of thinking. But if we study the Bible about talebearing, about gossiping, we come away with the idea that God's not at all okay with this sin. And I want us to take a look at what the Bible says, and I want you to look at the verses and to know and to understand. When you leave here, there's not a person here that pays attention that'll be able to say that you're doing this ignorantly or you're not aware of the consequences or the ramification of the sin, because I want to give a thorough look at it. But let me just encourage you, get this out of your life if it's there. Just get it out of your life if it's there. There's so many better things to do with your time. There's so much better things to do with your tongue than to spread things that ought not to be spread amongst people and to live this type of a life. So what's the Bible say about talebearing? Number one, it's condemned in the Old Testament law. We read that, Leviticus chapter number 19. Number two, a talebearer's goal is to find out secrets and spread them. To find out secrets and spread them. Now, if you understand this, you're going to, as an individual, be very careful with the information that you give and what information is given to what people. There are some folks that literally spend their life trying to find out something that nobody else knows about somebody else or about a situation. And once they have that information, their mission in life is to go around and whisper it about and be the first one to tell other people something they don't know. I've looked at this thing, and I've put it under the microscope, and I've watched people that just get addicted to it, and I'm going to tell you that the high that they seem to get off this is akin to a drug. I'm not kidding you. They are never more happy in their life when they've found out a juicy piece of information that is a secret, and by the way, here's the point, should be kept a secret. Should be kept a secret. Hey, preacher, you believe in secrets? Yep. You believe that there's some things that ought to remain secret? Absolutely. If you don't have anything in your life that other people don't know, if you don't have a secret that you would be very hurt if it got out, if you've lived such a crystal pure, clean, Jesus Christ righteous life that you don't never done or said anything that would cause you embarrassment, then you're not going to understand what I'm saying here. You're also delusional. But the honest truth is, there's not a person in this room that wouldn't say, preacher, there's some things that was in my life, or that you know what, to the best of my ability, I've got under the blood, and the last thing I need is people going around deciding that this is going to be the focus of their life and their determination to spread things that are under the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, but you have to understand this, folks. You have to understand the mindset of a tailbearer, because their entire life revolves around this hobby, this activity of finding out things. There's a lot of reasons. I'm not going to go back into another rant on it, that I don't like Facebook, but one of it is it just gives people access to a lot of things. Some of you are very unwise. If you're going to have it, then have it. You're not going to listen to me, don't listen to me. But I'm just telling you, if you ought to have some sense about what you put on it. And, I private message that. Let me give you a philosophy of life. I pray that you'll hear me right now, okay? Anything that you tell someone will eventually come out. Here's a little rule I live by. Never say anything in private that I would not want said in public. Never say anything to anyone in private that I could not live with if it was said in public. Oh, but they promised. Okay? We're going to find out about their promises here in a minute and how reliable they are. Now, two things are true, and this will help everybody just kind of breathe and relax, okay? Number one, there's not a person in this room that has not had somebody gossip about them and it hurts you or hurts one of your family members very deeply. Can I hear an amen there? There's also nobody in this room that probably hasn't done it. Okay? I mean, again, I think all of us can look back and say, preacher, there's some times I got caught up in something and I got involved and I said some things that I had, it was none of my business. It was not the kind of thing I should have been talking about, got caught up in the moment. I mean, I don't care who you are. I think sometimes there's some regrets as far as, boy, that's something I should have just left alone, walked away from, kept my mouth shut about. And so this isn't a sin that's exclusive to just some people. All of us, I think, at times have got caught up in this. But I will say this, folks. There's a difference between somebody that out of character does this and somebody who lives their life to do it. And you have to understand a tailbearer, understand who they are and how that their mind works, and you have to guard yourself as best you can against this sin. A tailbearer's goal is to find out secrets and spread them. You don't need to know a lot of things. Look right up here. You don't need to know a lot of things. Matter of fact, here's a policy I have. If I don't absolutely 100% need to know something, I don't want to know it. Let me say it again. If I don't 100% need to know it, I don't really want to know it. Okay, so if somebody comes to me and giving me this information will put me in the process of helping come up with a viable solution, and I'm in a position to help solve a problem, then I need the information. But only if I can be involved in the solving of the problem, not for the pure knowledge of it, the pure sake of it, or so I can have something to go and tell somebody else. But the honest truth is, that's pretty limited where I need to be involved. Even as a pastor, the Bible instructs brethren to go to brethren. And if you haven't done that first, coming to my office, telling me without going and trying to fix something yourself first, you're not following proper biblical procedures. And so the idea that everybody needs to know this, please be very careful. There are some things that are secrets that are spread around that are true, but they don't need to be said. There's other things that people claim are secret that's nothing but out-and-out vicious lies. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But a tailbearer's goal is to find out secrets and spread them. Parents, you really need to educate your children. Children, young people, you need to grow up. I hate to have to educate our teens. I hate to say there's this dark side, but you know what? I had to sit down with every one of our girls at some point and say, not everybody that is pretending to be your friend really wants to be a friend. A lot of people just want information. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 19. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 9. Say, preacher, are there things you're trying to hide? Well, here's the problem with a tailbearer. If they would get their facts straight, there's no facts that I'm trying to hide, but there are, what discourages you and what you find out is that they're not interested in facts. They want pieces of information that they can then shape to their own devise. And by the time they get done shaping it, the facts and fiction have blended together. But notice Proverbs 20, verse 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that what? Flattereth with his lips. Now, flattery, one of the purposes of flattery, or somebody coming up and all of a sudden you're their favorite person and they like you and they want to be your friend on Facebook. And they weren't that interested in you or seemed to care that much about you till they think that you might be a source of some information that they need. And then they come up with flattering lips, and all of a sudden they're nicey-nice, and you think, man, this person wants to be my friend. Wow, well, that's flattering, and that's nice. And pretty soon the conversation turns, and next thing you know, they're getting information from you, but you can trust them because they're nice, and they're your friend now. And they manipulate people. This is how they do it. They flatter with their lips, and then they get information through flattery, and then as soon as they can scamper away from you, they're going to take that information and they're going to cause problems with it, cause hurt with it. And so this is their mindset. This is their goal. They go Facebook page to Facebook page to Facebook page looking and reading and trying to find out what's happening in this person's life and that person's life. Oh, I've always thought to myself, if I only had their time. I don't know how they have the time, but if that's their hobby. That's where their life revolves around that. And they'll send private messages. They'll make phone calls. They'll want this information, that. They'll ask about, well, they'll say, well, I was just wondering what you thought about. I was just wondering what you thought about. I was just wondering if you'd heard. Okay. I just wonder what you thought about. And they're gathering things. Okay. And this is what they do. Number four, tell bearers then use these secrets to hurt people. They then use these secrets to hurt people. Go to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 8. Proverbs 18 and verse number 8. This is something that we will see twice mentioned in Scripture. I'm going to have you look at both verses. Proverbs 18, 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. There's a little, if you've got a Scofield Bible, it says over in the margin there, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, or like as when men are wounded, and they go into the innermost parts of the belly. Now, if you do a little study of that, what's that mean, innermost parts of the belly? That means it is a thorough wounding. Gossip hurts people. It hurts them physically. It hurts them physically. It hurts them mentally. It hurts them emotionally. It hurts them spiritually. Now, I'm going to say this as if nobody's ever heard this before, and I'm just going to give you this information. Look at me. If you gossip about somebody, you are wounding them. You're wounding them physically. You're wounding them mentally. You're wounding them emotionally, and you're wounding them spiritually. If you did not know that, now you do. You are hurting them. Now, God is so intent on us understanding this that if you'll go over to Proverbs chapter 26, if you'll turn there right now, verse number 22, Proverbs 26, 22, you'll see the exact same verse, twice repeated. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now, twice repeated, like verily, verily, like listen up. Like Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be a curse. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be a curse. And God sometimes in the Bible repeats something twice as if to say, listen, I don't know if you heard this. I want to say it again because, listen, I don't want there to be any doubt where I stand on this. And it's almost like twice God is coming to the human race who, because of our carnal nature, and I'm going to explain a little bit of why people gossip in a minute, but because of our carnal nature, because instead of helping God help us feel good about ourselves by being good, it's easier sometimes for us to try to look down or talk down other people and make them seem less so that we can then feel better about ourselves. But in the process of doing that, you hurt people. You hurt wives, you hurt husbands, you hurt marriages, you hurt children, you hurt families, you hurt the church. You probably, more than any other person, whether you realize it or not, you hurt yourself. You're damaging yourself. You can't wound in this area without wounding, being wounded. And I think a part of you diminishes. And so talebearers, they use these secrets then to hurt people. Now look right up here. Let me help you with this. Well, preacher, yeah, but it's true. Now, first of all, if you didn't see it, you don't know if it's true. If you didn't see it, you don't know if it's true. But I heard from a reliable source. If they were reliable, they wouldn't be a source. Let me say that again. If they were reliable, they wouldn't be a source. Because didn't we just read that a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter? What you're trying to convince me is that you heard gossip from a faithful spirit. You did not. You heard it from a talebearer. And if there is no such thing as a reliable source of gossip. Okay, because if they are a source, they're not reliable. Okay, so throw that excuse out the window, okay? And talebearers, what they do is they use these secrets to hurt people and wound people. And so they gather this information, and then they use them to hurt people. Now, how do they hurt? Well, there are several things that gossip does. First of all, it wounds individuals. It wounds people. It wounds families. Gossip also destroys unity. Proverbs 26:20. Let me run down the list and let's look at a few of these. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. And so anytime that you have gossip, you're going to eventually have strife. If there's something that someone's found out, and it ought to have remained secret, then, and they go out and tell somebody. Now, let me just, this is where I started to go a second ago, and I lost my train of thought, but let me just see if I can get a thought across to you. If you heard somebody in this church, if you overheard somebody in this church saying something hurtful about someone else, if you heard it with your own ears, pray tell me, why would you go to that person that it was said about and tell them? If you heard it with your own ears, okay, if somebody in this church said something they should not have said about somebody else in this church, why, in the name of God in heaven and all that's sane and righteous, would you go to that person and tell them that hurtful thing that that person said about them? Why? Now, if you get down to where the answer to that question is, it's not going to have anything to do with that person or that person. It's going to have something to do with what's right here in your heart. Okay, if Tristan down here said something mean about Levi, and I went over to Levi and said, you're not going to believe this, and I heard this with my own ears, this isn't gossip. Why would I do that? Now, I just want an answer. I want a sane, sensible, reasonable, godly answer to that question. Why wouldn't I conceal that? If I'm going to say anything to anybody, I'll say it to him. I'll walk up and say, listen, I heard what you said, and you know what? Levi's not perfect, but I'm going to tell you something. He's a good guy. He's a good young man. And you know what? Whether what you said is true or not, by the way, I don't believe it, but whether or not what you said is true, it should never have been said, okay? And I try to use that, not just hammer you, but try to give you an opportunity to help you to grow up some in the Lord. Because there's going to be a day, one of these days, when somebody over here is saying something about you, and you're going to hope somebody does to them what I just did to you. Now, folks, that's how you handle. That's real Christianity. That's where the rubber meets the road. And so whether or not what the secret is true, whether it comes secondhand, whether you witnessed it, whether you know it to be a fact, if you are of a faithful spirit, you will conceal the matter. Why? because all that's going to do is cause strife between Tristan and Levi. You say, well, he shouldn't have said it. Or maybe it doesn't matter. You know what? It's going to cause strife. It's going to cause problems. And so why would I want to take something that I know is going to cause a problem between two people and go tell it? Why would I do that? Gossip destroys friendships. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 28. Proverbs 16, verse number 28. A froward man, Proverbs 16, 28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisper separateth chief friends. And so how does gossip hurt? It hurts people, individuals, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It hurts the unity of the church, the congregation of Christians. It destroys sometimes friendships. There's people that used to be friends that aren't friends, and it's because of a whisperer, a gossip that came between those people, walked over to this one, acted like they were friends, got them talking about this person, got a little tidbit, walked over here, you're not going to believe what she said, and blah, 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 and then you're not going to believe what he said, and then back and forth. The next thing you know, people who used to be friends won't have anything to do with each other, and they're bitter in their heart, and it's because of a gossip, a whisperer, okay? Now, if Christians know this, and I don't think there's anybody, very few maybe, sitting in the room that, wow, I've never seen these verses before, this is totally new information. But if you are, good, because now you know. But if tellbearers and gossips know these Bible principles that's been taught almost every year from this pulpit since I've been pastor, and I don't think Dad was too shy about it either, so you know. The question that comes to my mind sometimes is, why does a tellbearer do this? Okay, if they know it's going to hurt and wound people, if they know it's going to destroy unity, if they know it's going to divide friendships, in a church setting where our mission ought to be to help people mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, any way we can, encourage them, and our goal is unity, and our goal is to treat each other as beloved friends, why would a tellbearer do this? Now, I'm going to see if I can peel back the layers a little bit and see if I can get you to understand, because once you understand the mindset or the heart condition of a tellbearer, you'll understand a lot. Proverbs chapter 26, if you'll go there, there's this whole portion of Scripture that's fascinating and I think very revealing, and I think will cause all of us to really take a step back and look at this sin in a different light. But Proverbs 26, verse 20, where no wood is, we read this, there the fire goeth out, so where there is no tellbearer, the strife ceaseth. And then we go on. I'm going to read this section, and I want to break it down to you. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a tellbearer are wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now, every once in a while, you'll have a proverb that's unrelated to the verses before it, two verses, one before it, one after. And this section is staying with the theme introduced in verse number 20. The words of a tellbearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like potsherd covered with silver dross. Potsherd being pottery. And silver dross, you think about the dross that's burned off of silver when they're trying to purify it. Dross is impurities. So it's like a container, a pottery container, dipped in impurities. The joining of burning lips and a wicked heart is like pottery dipped in impurities. Verse 24, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. So this whole third of Proverbs chapter 26 is dealing with the sins of the tongue, specifically tellbearing. Now let me give you this, because this gives you a window into the heart of somebody given to this sin. For some, it'll help you to understand that person that keeps coming to you and recognize what their problems are. What their problems are, okay? And for some of you, it may help you to look in your own heart and sort through some things that needs to be overcome and repented of and turned from. Here's the question. Why does a tailbearer do this? If they honestly know the consequences, they know what it's going to cause, why would they do it? Well, there's several things. Look at verse 21. Because they have a contentious nature. Now, again, I've brought this out before, but one of the men in the Bible, and also women are also labeled as possibly contentious or potentially contentious, but so is a contentious man to kindle strife. There are some people that, I don't know why, I don't get this, but they just like to have conflict. They just like to cause problems. They just like to stir things up. I don't understand it because that's not my personality. I'm just telling you. There's some things I can tell you about me that's not great, but I'm a peacemaker. If there's a problem, I want to fix it. If there's two people on the outs, I want to cure it. I want to help. I don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy conflict. I don't enjoy contention. I don't like it when people are mad at each other. I don't like that. I wouldn't want to live in that. I'd lose my mind if I had to live in that environment. I announced to my wife and children early on, listen, we're going to have peace or people are going to die. All right? So, because if I have to go to war, it's going to be devastating. You know, I'm going to do it once and that's going to be the end of it. Because, I think I'd lose my mind if I had to live in a situation where there was constant conflict and bickering and turmoil. Now, this is one of the things I've said, and I really mean this. I want to say this to help, not to hurt anybody. But some people, every one of us, we're raised different. Every one of us come from a different background. And every one of us, to some extent, are a product of the environment we were raised in. And if you were raised in a very contentious home, and that was just normal, you're going to have to understand that that's going to be your tendencies if you're not careful. Because it's learned reaction. Somebody says something, a situation, tension comes. Two people disagree. How do you go from there? If your whole life for 18, 20 years was you go to war at that point and fight for your right and your position and your stand and do what you have to win at that moment, that's going to be your tendency. And so you're going to have to honestly guard against that. You say, well, it's just the way I was raised. It may be, but it's not something you have to pass on and shouldn't pass on. And some folks are just contentious by nature. It's almost like they just have to have drama. I don't like drama, okay? I don't, there's nothing about it, okay? I didn't join the drama club at Shackamack. I had no interest in joining the drama club. I didn't have to join the drama club at Shackamack. Everybody was in the drama club at Shackamack, whether you wanted to be a part of it or not, it seemed like. But that's the lost world. That's them. That shouldn't be us. So why? Well, some folks just have a contentious nature. Now watch the second one, because I promise you it's true. The Bible's very plain about this. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like potsherd covered with silver dross. There's something going on underneath. Okay, notice this. If you will, look down at verse 25. Verse 26. Whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Who diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. Now, listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. Why do people become talebearers? Because they, number one, they have a contentious nature. Number two, because they are trying to distract you from their own secret wickedness. Because they are trying to distract you from their own secret wickedness. Now, again, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I want you to really listen and really examine and really help. Let me help you and let you understand other people. Okay. But if somebody's always coming to me wanting to tell me something bad about somebody else, I begin to become suspect of their secret life. Why is it that they always want my attention drawn on the sins or the wickedness of other people? Why is that so important to them? It's almost like if I get you to watch this hand right here, or you're watching this hand right here, you're not watching what this one's doing over here. And that becomes a lifestyle with them. And so I will promise you this. Someone given over to tale-bearing, I'm going to make a prediction. At some point, something in secret is going to get revealed. Okay? Because a person that is so determined to reveal the shortcomings of others is doing it to try to appease his own conscience. That's why they go after people in the church that are, let me just say this, and I think you'll understand the definition of it. That's why they go after people in the church that are better Christians than them. Because if I can find something that they're doing that's wrong and reveal it, then it makes me feel better about my secret sin that I have hidden. And so that's why, let me say this, a lot of gossip goes after the preacher or the preacher's wife or the preacher's kid. And it's about to get amped up because of tonight. All right. Part of shining the spotlight on sin is you now become a good target. It's kind of like this assault rifle that the guys always want to put the flashlight on the front of it and go out. And I've never understood the whole flashlight on the assault rifle philosophy. If you put an assault rifle, a flashlight on your assault rifle, and you go outside to look for bad guys, they're in the dark. You're not now. You have a light. You make an easy target. I don't understand all of that exactly. Some of you smarter about that stuff. But I've never been interested in finding a flashlight to attach. But when you shine the light, you become a target. And it's just a fact of life. But that's why sometimes they'll go after people in the church that are dedicated and not perfect. Nobody's perfect here. You put anybody's life under the microscope long enough, you're going to find shortcomings because we're all flesh. We're all human. You know, I mean, it's just, it is. I have my strengths. I have my weaknesses. You have your strengths. You have your weaknesses. You know, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so, but you have to understand that. Now, listen to me, folks. Some of you are letting gossips come to you, and they are constantly trying to bring you, reveal secrets about people that are unflattering or wrong, but what you are doing is you are letting that person cause you to think poorly of these people when after a while their actions should cause you to be suspicious of them, okay? Because they're trying to distract you from their own secret wickedness. Number three, why does a talebearer do this? Because there are seven abominations in his heart. And verse 25, I think, is one of the most powerful verses you'll ever hear. What a statement to connect to a sin. When he speaketh fair, remember we talked about the flattery, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Now, if I was to say, and by the way, that should seem very familiar to you. Last week we taught on the abominations listed in Proverbs 6. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him, proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, false witness that speaketh lies, he that soweth discord among the brethren. Of all of the sins in the Bible that God says, if you are committing this sin, if you're given to this sin, it is because in your heart are these seven abominations. I'm not sure people would, if I just didn't show you that, if I just passed out a piece of paper and said, when somebody commits one sin, they commit seven abominations against God. Write it down, what it is. I think I'd get back murder. I think I'd get back adultery. I think I'd get back, you know, child abuse. I think I'd get back prostitution. I think I'd get all kinds of crazy things back. Because, you know, if somebody has seven abominations in their heart, the seven things that God hates, what's it going to produce in them? That'd be the kind of things that we think of. But God says this, in the heart of somebody given over to this sin to the point where God identifies them with a sin as a tale-bearer. Not somebody that bears a tale out of character, but this becomes their lifestyle. He says that there are seven abominations in his heart. Now, are you listening to me? When somebody comes up and they become this constant pretend friend source of companionship, but always wanting to tell you something bad about other people. And let me just say this to you, please understand it. You're being used and you're being manipulated, and these other people are hearing bad things about you. Because they're taking what you say and they're going back to other people and they are misrepresenting it. Why? Their goal is to cause division, to cause chief of friends. That's why a lot of times people will come to you about somebody that you care about, somebody that you're close to. And they want to throw mud at them. They want to attack them. They're trying to destroy something there. And so be careful about that. Seven abominations. Now, folks, I taught them last week. I can't reteach them, but let me just summarize it by saying this. You read these things. It's amazing. When somebody comes to bring me gossip and they're becoming this person, I'm dealing with someone who's filled with abominations against God. I'm dealing with someone who is proud, deceitful, ruthless, wickedly delusional, wicked imaginations, given to mischief, dishonest, and a divider of good brethren. Now, I'm sorry, but that's not the kind of person I'm going to hang with or hang around or have many conversations with. I'm just not. Okay? That's the kind of person I'm putting on ignore on my phone, screening their calls. If I have to answer, having about a 30-second conversation with them. What you need? Really? Okay, good. God bless you. Bomb. Okay? Because I'm not going to get caught up in it. Okay? And so that's who I'm dealing with. Wait a minute. Wait, preacher. That's not what I'm doing. That's not who I am. I'm trying to get people to understand in this church that other people are the things you're accusing me of. No, you are. You are. See, the problem isn't the people that you keep carrying gossip about. The problem is your own heart. Please listen to me. I'm not your enemy. I'm your friend right now. I'm trying to get through to you. Pride is your problem. Pride is your problem. Lying is your problem. Let me just please listen to this. I pray that you'll understand it. A gossip is a liar, and a liar is a gossip. If somebody will gossip, they will lie. If they will gossip, they will lie. Okay? So somebody who I understand after being around them, while this person is a talebearer, I don't treat anything they say with much merit. Because if they'll gossip, they'll lie. Okay, remember, lying is what? I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and that's what gossips do. Most gossips will bring you a part of a truth, but they're leaving something out, or they're embellishing it, or they are repackaging it in such a way so that maybe the person said that, but they didn't say it the way he said that they said it. Okay? And so be very careful about this. Let me just give you, for instance, I'm kind of sharing my heart, and you've had experiences too. But one of the most difficult things in the ministry is that there are people in every church that are jealous against a relationship that the congregation has with the pastor. There's people that want people in the church to look up to them like they look up to their pastor. So they will come and start bringing gossip or saying hurtful things about the pastor. You know, I love Pastor Jerry. Don't get me wrong. I love Pastor Jerry. But and the problem is that they want, without earning it, the relationship that we have. For instance, I think I would be shocked to know this, and I don't know. Now, I'm usually the last to know everything. We are. We kind of designed our lives that way. But, you know, you'd be shocked how many people in this church believe that I said something about you or your family, your children, that I didn't say, but somebody said that I said it. And you know what? It still hurts you. And by the way, I can't even make it right because I don't even know it. And by the way, because I didn't even say it. Or they've taken part of what I've said out of context, or they take part of it and added to it. Now, first of all, why are they doing that? And secondly, I'm going to tell you something. If there's something I need to tell you, I'll come tell you. Have you noticed I'm not shy? I have never called a gossip in my office and say, would you go tell this person that I said this about them? I don't need a go-between. And you shouldn't feel like you need a go-between with me. Okay? One of the things I like about Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I mean this, is the men in this church, for the most part, if there's something that comes up and there's a problem, they'll come sit down in my office, man to man, or we'll go out and get a cup of coffee, and you know what? This is what I'm hearing. This is what I heard. This, okay, thank you for the opportunity, and let's get this thing straightened out. And usually it's a bunch of nonsense. Somebody's just trying to stir up problems or whatever. Folks, listen to me. Do you want to be, here's one of the big questions you got to ask yourself. Do you want to spend your life being a problem solver or a problem spreader? Okay. If you're going to be a problem spreader, then that's what gossips do. Problem solvers like, okay, you know, somebody comes up to you and says, I don't know if you've heard this, but pastor said this, oh, well, come on, let's go see him right now. Just grab him right by the neck, let's go see him right now. You know what they're going to do? Wait. No. Thank you for that information, but I don't want him just to say, and then, listen, don't ever come to my office and say this. Well, pastor, I have been told this. I'll say, who told you? Well, I don't feel at ease to say who said it. Then you can leave my office right then. Because that conversation's over. Number one, you could be making it up. Okay? Number two, if that person don't have the backbone and the spine to stand by their word, I'll stand by my words. I'll stand by my words if I said them. If they don't have the backbone and spine, if they come to you and say, well, I need you to know this, but I don't want anybody to know where it came from, they're a coward. And they're probably lying to you. And they don't want to be put underneath the spotlight so that it can be found out that they're a liar. Now, I'm trying to give you just good practical advice. You know, 95% of halfway mature Christians, you know all this stuff. You get all this. You've lived this long enough. You understand this stuff. But some of the young people come up. You've got to start figuring some things out. Not get caught up in all the nonsense, okay? And I will tell you this. What I just said about you, some folks in this church might think I've said something. And I mean, for years, kind of in their heart, hold a grudge against. And I didn't say it, or I was misrepresented, but I don't know. But I promise you, that's not just true between us two. That's probably true between people in this church. And, you know, you were told 7 years ago that somebody in this church said something about one of your children. And you'd say, well, I don't want to go confront them, I don't whatever, but it rankles you and it works on your heart. And the honest, can I say this? I'm going to just tell you this. It's probably an absolute lie. Because who in their right mind would come and tell you that if they had any kind of a pure heart? So don't be mad at the person that supposedly said something that they probably didn't say. Be mad at the person who has revealed who they really are to you by carrying to you that type of thing. And it's amazing the things I've said in my office that I didn't know. You know, I mean, one of the reasons I will counsel. I'm not thrilled about it. Let me tell you when the counseling sessions are. 9:30 Sunday morning, 10:30 Sunday morning, 7:00 Sunday night, and 7:00 Wednesday night. If you'll come to all them counseling sessions and really listen, you're probably not going to need many other counseling sessions. Now, everybody's going to need a questioner once in a while. I'm for it. I'm not telling you never to come. I'm just saying if you'll just come 52 weeks a year, sit here, listen to the Bible preach, you're going to get most answers that you need. But one of the things that I don't like, and I'm going to tell you, I don't do it. But I know preachers that have gone to, Brother Joe, you know it's true. They've gone to recording counseling sessions. Just because people have such small character in this day and age. And if I have a conversation in my office with somebody and they leave and swear I said something I didn't say, it's their word against mine. It's insane where we've come to. But, I mean, and I guard so carefully what I say and how I say it. And try to be careful with it. If I have to say some things, but I'm telling you, it's crazy sometimes what people will come out of, and now they've been in my office, and now they want to go to seven other people and say, well, I talked to Pastor Jerry about this, and let me tell you what he said about it. First of all, you didn't come in for counsel. You came in to get from me something you could spread around. So don't waste my time ever again. Okay, because that's a filthy, filthy abuse of your pastor. Okay? If the only reason you're coming in here is so that you can have some authority to stand on to say that I said this about something, if somebody needs to know something from me, send them to me. They can hear right what I have to say about it. But I think that that's good advice on everybody. Folks, listen to me. When other people come to you for advice or your take on a situation, most of the time you're just being pumped. And what you say is going to be taken out of context and used against you. So here's a good answer. We really don't need to talk about it. Let's just pray about it. We both know enough to pray, don't we? Let's just pray about it. Let's not talk about that. Okay? And then grab their hand and say, "Dear Jesus, dear Lord." Obviously, this person's extremely concerned about this situation. And no doubt they've spent hours praying about it, God. Now they've come to me, and so we're going to pray together. God, we don't know. We don't need to know. We don't want to be stinking wicked gossips, God. We don't want that. So we come right to you with this, Lord. You won't have to worry about them coming back two or three times after that, okay? And so, amen. Why do they do it? Contentious nature. So why do they do it? Distract you from their own wickedness. Why do they do it? Because there's something broken, wrong in here. Pride, deceit, ruthlessness, wickedly delusional, given to mischief, dishonest, divider of good brother. Why? Because, watch this, look at verse 24 and 28. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. 28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. Folks, listen to me. I promise you, this is true. It is because of a secret hatred that they hold against the person that they are bringing you that gossip about. When they come to you and say, "I care a lot about this person and I just want to share this so that you'll know to pray," they do not. They hate that person because they wouldn't be telling you bad if they didn't hate them. There's a hatred problem in their heart, secret hatred held against others. Now, if you've gotten caught up in this sin, and if you're not so offended that you can't take an honest step back and look at it, you have to examine, do I have a contentious nature? Is it true? What the Bible says, is there secret wickedness in my own life that I should be dealing with instead of deciding I need to report about other people's? Look at these lists of seven abominations. God, search me. Help me, dear God. And Lord, if I've got anything but love for that brother or sister, if there's a secret hatred in my heart, God, convict me, I'll reveal it. If you get those things straight, you'll get out of the gossiping business. You won't feel a need to do it anymore. But if somebody's dedicated to it, then you know what? That's the reasons. Now, how is gossiping? Stop, preacher. In conclusion here, let me just give you handful of thoughts will be done. How do you stop it? Well, you recognize what's behind the gossip. I think one of the things the scripture has done, hopefully, that'll help you is to recognize, well, listen, you can, when people come to you, maybe before you listened to the gossip and felt ill feelings towards this person, when a gossip tries to approach me, I never have ill feelings towards the story being told of the person being accused. I worry about that person. That's the one that I feel like has a problem. Not the person they're talking about. Listen, recognize what is behind gossip. When somebody comes to you with gossip, ask some questions. How did they find this out? You don't have to say it out loud. Say it in your heart. How did they find this out? Number two, why are they telling me? Why are they telling me? What have I got to do with it? Number three, what will they do with my reaction to this news? Because they're going to take whatever reaction you have and they're going to go back and they're going to use it on somebody else. Well, I'll tell you what, I was talking to so-and-so about it. By the way, be careful because now you have just been labeled as a co-gossiper. The best way to not let people be able to say, "I talked to so-and-so about it," is don't talk to them about it. Do what I said. You know what? I don't know what the situation is. I don't want to know. Don't need to know. I think I know enough to pray. You need to know enough to pray. Let's just go to praying and stop talking. Okay, praying helps, talking doesn't. Let's pray. Okay, that's the only thing they'll be able to report. No, well, that's not true. They'll report things. Well, they didn't want to talk about it. I'm kind of wondering why they were so sensitive about it. I wonder why they didn't want to talk about it. So whether you do whatever you do, you're not going to win totally, but at least they'll know what side you're on. Number four, what type of person is this? This person that's acting so nice and flattering and nice and you know, got this little facade of Christianity. What am I really, who am I really talking to? Let me tell you who you're talking to. You're talking to a transgressor of the Old Testament law. You're talking to someone that does not care if they wound others. You're talking about to somebody who's not for unity. You're talking to somebody who destroys friendships. You're talking to someone who has a contentious nature. You're talking to someone who's hiding their own secret personal wickedness. You're talking to someone who holds seven abominations in their heart. You're talking to someone who's deceitful and dishonest. And you are talking to someone who has a secret hatred towards the person they're trying to talk to you about. That's who you're talking to. Now, if you want to listen to what they say and believe it, that's on you. But I know what the Bible says. And I'm going to stand on the Word of God. And I'm not going to believe junk, and I'm not going to listen to junk. How do you stop gossip? You first of all recognize what's behind it. You properly identify the gossiper for who they are. Number two, you remove the wood. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no tell-bearer, the strife ceaseth. Well, preacher, how do you keep there from being a tell-bearer? Don't give them anywhere to bear the tell to. Don't give them anywhere to bear the tell to. That's why when Christians, and you'll see it in this church, if y'all are listening to me and y'all start doing what I've said, what you're going to see is you're going to see more and more the folks given to this sin have to find each other and cling together, because the congregation as a whole will not be approached, will not put up with it. And pretty soon, they will be revealed for who they are and what they are, and they're going to be confined to a very small group. Okay? Tailbearers like to recruit. Okay? They like to see if they can find new people that have fresh information. Shut them down. Okay, so recognize what's behind the gossip. Remove the wood. Rebuke the bearer. Rebuke the bearer of the gossip. Okay, and you say, preacher, they're not going to like me if I do that. Well, that's a price you pay for standing up for what's right. Okay, you're not always going to be liked. Get over it. So what? What are you? Are you running for Miss Popularity? Mr. Popularity, we don't have most popular of 2012. We're not going to have a little yearbook with somebody's picture in it, okay? Don't worry about it. I want to be popular with God. I want God to be pleased. If everybody else is upset, I want God to be pleased. And so this is the scriptural definition of it. This is how you understand it. This is how you recognize it. This is what it does, and this is how you respond to it. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Lord, to be wise through the study of the scriptures tonight. And Lord, thank you for your blessing. The chorus says, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, if we've got the time to talk about the things we ought to. And Lord, to share the gospel and be an encouragement and a help. And Lord, say things that bring exhortation and to the brother, Lord, and encouraging, building each other up, Lord, in the faith. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to live that type of a life, not to get caught up in the sin that the scriptures have so clearly identified to us. May we understand it. May we get it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.